Welcome to Leviticus study number 20. We're in Leviticus chapter 14. We're going to cover verses 1 through 32, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, as we give out a hillbilly holla to Sister Rhonda Hasegawa. Sister Rhonda, longtime listener, viewer, and a good friend of this ministry. So here's your hillbilly holla, Sister Rhonda, as we get into our Bible study in Leviticus 14 with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for every opportunity to get into this book. We especially thank you as the Holy Spirit has taught us so much, and we see leprosy picturing our sin, but we also see our high priest, Jesus Christ, providing the sacrifice to cleanse us and to bring us into the camp as we stand originally outside of the camp as unclean sinners. And we thank you for everything you're teaching us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at the laws of leprosy in the previous chapter, and now we're going to look at the laws of cleansing for the leper who has been healed or cured, and that, as I said, will run through verse 32. And again, this isn't the cure, but is the response when the leper has been cured, as we see in these first two verses. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse 2, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." So the leper is brought to the priest. The priest steps outside the camp and gives him a look over. And that's where we are pictured as representatives or ambassadors. We don't present ourselves to the leper. And on the other hand, the leper is presented to the high priest, Jesus Christ. So those of us who preach the gospel, we're kind of the we're the ambassador, as Paul said, but it's all about Jesus. We're presenting Jesus. And so, according to which side you're looking at this, from the leper's point of view, he's brought to the camp, but he doesn't enter into the camp. He's brought to the camp, and that'd be the work of the soul winner. And then he is confronted with the high priest, and that's Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ, who then comes to the sinner outside the camp and examines, convicts with his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And that's what we're seeing pictured here. God goes outside of the camp after the sinner, and the sinner, just as the leper here, could only approach God by repentance and faith by means of that sacrifice that he will present when he comes to the Lord. That's a picture we need to recognize of the local church. The local church isn't a place to bring unsaved people to be saved. If they come and they hear the gospel and get saved, that's great, but that's not the purpose of the church. The church is a place for sinners to come after they have been saved. So let's keep that in mind as we continue. Verses 3 and 4 say, "And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop." So the high priest comes to the sinner with the sacrifice. Jesus came down from heaven to be our high priest. And in our case, Jesus is the sacrifice pictured in the two birds, along with wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And we'll talk about what those picture in a few minutes. But I want to quote this from J. Vernon McGee in his Through the Bible commentary. It just gives us the big picture. Quote, "When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin separated God and man. This barrier of sin moved in a twofold direction, in that it affected both God and man. It moved upward toward God and made man guilty before a holy God. It moved downward toward man, and man became polluted and contaminated with sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin in its pollution and contamination." And end quote. And I just think that sets the picture for us. As we read verse 5, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." And that pictures the death of Christ, the blood being shed outside of the camp. If you go to Jerusalem today and you go to a hill called Golgotha, it's outside of the temple area and outside of the walls of Jerusalem, and that's what this pictures. And with the blood and water running out of his side on the cross at Golgotha. Thank you very much. The spot of tea as we continue our study. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. There are a few likely pictures here. I say likely because typology isn't an exact science, but some things are undeniable. Others, you know, you take it and compare it with Scripture and you see what you think of it. We see the cedar wood. Well, that speaks of the humanity of Christ, his sinless human body nailed to the cross. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see 1 Peter 2:24 that describes this, saying, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And then you see the scarlet, that speaks of the faith that we are saved by, having faith in the blood of Christ. Scripture with Scripture, think of Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then we also see the hyssop. And hyssop is pictured as being used as a cleansing instrument. And several places, including Psalm 51:7, we read, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So we see the living bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, and they dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And then verse 7 says, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, I have to repeat this. It's not healing him of leprosy, but even having been healed, he then has to go through this ritual cleansing in order to enter the camp and then enter into the tabernacle for sacrifice. And that's, again, picturing the unsaved man or woman. As verse 7 pictures two things, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. That's a perfect cleansing by the blood of Christ, the number of 7 representing perfection or completion. When you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're pronounced clean in God's eyes forever. His blood purifies you, and he doesn't have to die more than once, and you don't have to keep going back to be washed by the blood of Jesus over and over for salvation. After we're saved, we have the cleansing of practical sins on a practical level to restore fellowship with God. But this is speaking of the leper outside of the camp being cleansed that he might come into the camp. And that's what we see pictured here. And we also see the living bird let loose into the open field. And that pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He overcame sin and he overcame death. He conquered the death penalty that is upon all of us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why or how can we be offered eternal life? Because Jesus defeated sin and death when he rose from the dead. And then the birds let loose into the open field, and we remember in Acts 1 how that Jesus ascended to heaven promising to return. And that's where we are now as saved, born again, in the camp Christians. We're looking for his return. As we continue in verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So the leper is now covered in new flesh. I didn't look up the reference. You can look it up. But there's a reference to the leper being healed and his skin then looking like baby skin, like a pink flesh. And this speaks of the new birth and the change that takes place in God's eyes once we are born again. He sees a sinner, but then once we are saved and washed by the blood, we are cleansed. That's what Paul is referring to in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You don't become sinless, but you should and will, if you're truly saved, sin less. You don't become sinless, but you sin less. Why? Because you are a new creature. So now the cleansed leper can be brought into the camp. He's no longer banished, but he's now reinstated into the camp in this case. And so we pick up in verse 10. Let's read through verse 12. "And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil." Now, that ewe lamb refers to a female. Verse 11, "And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 12, "And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord." So our high priest brings us into the camp. We're only allowed into the camp as we are brought in by the high priest here in the case of the leper, but that's true as well of the Christian, the new Christian who's been saved. His leprosy of sin has been cleansed. He's now brought into the camp by the high priest. And the leper, in the case of the leper in the Mosaic Law here that we're reading about, he assumes his place among the children of Israel. And he begins offering the typical sacrifices as described here. And we will read beginning verse 13. We're going to read a few verses here through verse 20. After I get a nice drink of this tea that my wife just brought me. That tells you that it's after lunchtime. I drink coffee before lunch and tea after lunch. And with that, we pick up verse 13 through 20. "And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." And we discussed that a moment ago. "And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand." Verse 16, "And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord." And of course, we repeat, 7 being the number of completion, the number of perfection. Verse 17, "And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering." Verse 18, "And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord." Now, as I'm reading, I hope some of this is coming back to you. We've discussed the purpose behind these things in previous offerings. But let's continue, verse 19, "And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering." And the priest, verse 20, "And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him. He shall be clean." The leper is now back in the camp and offering the various offerings. That's what we just read here. And it shows him offering a male lamb for the trespass offering, and a male lamb for the sin offering, a ewe or female lamb for a burnt offering. The flour mingled with oil is a meat offering. And then you see where he puts the oil on the tip of the ear, showing that he now has ears to hear. A lot of people think they can understand the Bible on their own. And when unsaved people read the Bible and try to understand it, it becomes a disaster. And of course, that's where all the false religions, or the what we call pseudo-Christian cults, began. That's how Islam began. Muhammad was an unsaved man who rejected the biblical gospel and the biblical Jesus, but he knew just enough Bible to be dangerous, and then a lot of what he knew was wrong. We've talked about the errors that Muhammad included, and even had Moses and Mary as brother and sister, and all kinds of wild stuff in there. But Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon cult, Charles Taze Russell, who started the Watchtower cult and Jehovah's Witnesses, and on it goes. These are unsaved men who read the Bible and then reject biblical Christianity and start their own religions for various reasons. And most of the time, it has to do with sex and power. Muhammad and Joseph Smith were able to have all kinds of women as a result of their visions. Charles Taze Russell, I'm not so sure about sex, but it certainly put him as the head of religion and gave him power. But the oil on the leper who's been cleansed, and the oil now on the head, as it says here in verse 20, it speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now I have to tackle something right off here. It doesn't mean you should never sit under a teacher. It doesn't mean you don't need a teacher to learn the Bible. God says he's provided pastors and teachers for that reason. But this is talking about you knowing God and knowing that you're saved and knowing who Jesus is. You don't have to have somebody teaching you that if you're a Christian. That's how you became saved. You're saved because you know Jesus. You know who he is. You know what he did for you. You're trusting in what he has done to save you. So with that, we pick up in verse 21. And if he be poor and cannot get so much. So here we start picking up with a footnote, basically, or an addendum, applied to those who are too poor to provide two male lambs and a ewe or a female lamb. Verses 21 through 23, "And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil." Verse 22, "And two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." So with that clarification on behalf of the poor, we're reminded that Jesus saves you just as you are. He doesn't leave you as you are. He removes the leprosy. He removes the stain of sin. And he makes provision for the poor as well as the well-to-do. And God will not turn away any that come to him. A beautiful verse, kind of corrupted by those who want to teach unconditional election. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But John 6:37 says, Jesus is speaking, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Who does the Father give to Jesus? Those who believe on his death, burial, and resurrection. And he will in no wise cast you out. Doesn't matter your condition in life, poor, rich, sick, healthy, beautiful, not so beautiful, skinny, fat, smart, not so smart. Doesn't matter. And verse 24, we'll pick up and read through verse 27 now. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 25, and he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the right, upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. Verse 26, and the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And verse 27, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And this speaks of the perfect consecration unto the Lord of the cleansed leper, the saved sinner. Believers are set apart unto the Lord as his possession. We sing a song, a beautiful song, one of our hymns in the hymnal says that he will come for his jewels, and we are his possession. And it's a great song. Look up the lyrics sometime to that. And as a result, or just as a reasonable response to him saving us and purchasing us with his blood and setting us apart unto himself forever, for eternity. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Elsewhere we're also said not to be servants of sin. Why? Because it's unreasonable. You're saved. You've been saved from eternal hell, from the leprosy of sin in this life and the next for eternity. We should serve God and not men. We should serve God and not sin. And so the consecration continues in verse 28, and the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. Verse 29, and the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And so with that, now the instructions for the two birds when offered for the poor, verses 30 and 31. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. So God only expects you to do what you can do. And that's why he made provision to just get a couple little birds for those who were poor, who had been cleansed of their leprosy. I say this, I don't remember if that's something I came up with or if I heard someone else say it, but I've said this over and over, do all you can do. That's all you can do. Many times people fret over their inability to do more for the Lord. Maybe they feel like they aren't doing enough. A lot of people think because they're not teaching or singing or doing something where they're more visible, that they're not doing more for the Lord. And that's not true. You have to look at things the way God looks at things. And if you are taking whatever talents and skill, whatever time and money that you have been given, and you are using that as best you can for the Lord and for His glory, then you're doing all that you can do. And that's all you can do. And so it's just something Christians should not fret over. If you shouldn't feel that way. Now, if you know you're withholding and you're not doing all you can do, that's where you have a problem. And you need to repent of that, confess it to God, and ask Him to help you do better. And with that, we close with this statement about what we've read in the previous 31 verses. Verse 32 says, this is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. So God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I heard that in a song somewhere along the way at some point. But God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Next time we come back, we're going to get into the second half of this chapter and pick up with verse 33. We're going to deal with a kind of a strange thing here. Leprosy infecting your house, or it could be any building. It's a strange thing compared to most diseases, which don't infect the walls and the carpets and the beddings and clothes. But that's the reality of leprosy and the reality of sin. Sin will infect your whole world if you let it. If you If you allow it, you'll find sin in your music. You'll find sin in the things you read, and in your entertainment, in the movies you watch, in the friendships you have, in the conversations you partake in your imaginations, and in your deeds. But sin can only have a hold in your life if you let it. And if you allow God to control your life, then you can expect you won't be sinless, but you will sin less. See you next time. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.